Thursday, we celebrated the 4th of July, the 243rd birthday of our country. And the celebration for many will not be over until the day. It's been a long weekend. This extended weekend we will have thrown an elaborate birthday party, spending over $6.5 billion on parties, food, entertainment, and travel. Being the largest beer-drinking holiday, we will have spent around $1.6 billion on beer and wine alone. 150 million hot dogs will have been consumed in countless picnics and holidays and events. And of course, in Atlantic City, Nathan's hot dog eating contest is just one of the eating contests celebrated across the country. To highlight the festivities, the American people will have spent over $1 billion on fireworks and attend some 14,000 organized local displays. Macy's alone spent around $6 million for some 75,000 individual firework shows, entertaining over 3 million spectators. The 4th is without a doubt one of the largest and most expensive birthday parties of the year. It is celebrated in the name of freedom, equality, and liberty, as well as in honor of those who have contributed to the formation of this country. You know, we celebrate in spite of the fact that our history has been a struggle to achieve the lofty goals set out by the founding fathers. After all, freedom and equality and liberty have not been for everybody over these 234 years, but has been slowly evolving and not easily achieved. And for half of these years, we were involved in actual slavery and its resulting in racism. In fact, throughout these many years, we have not been immune from prejudice, greed, exploitation, inequality, and corruption. And we celebrate even during these times of national, political, and social extreme and its divisiveness. We celebrate it in spite of being one of the most violent developed countries in the world and with daily murder rates far surpassing battlefield casualties. Some would say that is the cost of freedom. And to an extent, that may be so. But look at it this way. We do not celebrate the negatives of the past and the present. But what we do celebrate is the ability to learn from our past experiences. We do celebrate the fact of experiencing forgiveness. We do celebrate the correction of our mistakes. We do celebrate the sharing of burdens with the past and what they may have cost. And we do celebrate the helping of each other to seek a better tomorrow. We celebrate the goals upon which our tested Constitution incorporated. Hopefully these goals will continue to lead the nation to their fulfillment. If not, the people as a nation will have little to celebrate. You know, this is true within the church also. Every Sunday, we celebrate being a part of the body of Christ. We as individuals and collectively may or may not live up to what being a member of the body of Christ means. We all fall short in one way or another from time to time. This, of course, is the nature of being human. It has been said that the church is a hospital for sinners and not a hotel for saints. It is so easy to fall into the category of thinking the church as the hotel. You know, I can remember several years ago, and this was in Fells Point, and I had experimented with Sunday services there. And I knew a man there who attended who thought that the beginning of a worship service with confession was all too negative and irrelevant, since he didn't see any sin within himself. He was perfectly fine as he was. He never did anything wrong. With such an attitude, beyond reality, that is, he would fall into the category of being above everybody else, that is, unless he didn't see the wrongs which other people did also. Of course, that was not the case. Everybody else had difficulty doing what was right in his eyes. This is blind self-righteousness. By the way, often patriotism can fall into this trap of also becoming blind patriotism. Paul has something to say about this. He acknowledges the reality of sin, and he acknowledges the wrongdoing within people and within the body of Christ. It was real. He also recognized that it is the responsibility of each of us to help each other to come to reconciliation and forgiveness. My friends, he writes, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Notice, he did not say this restoration is through condemnation and self-righteousness, but through gentleness. Restoration is by the way of the path of God's love through grace. Little is gained through condemnation, except maybe the false inflation of ego of those who condemn. Paul warns about living any other way than love and gentleness. For those who are nothing think that they are something, they deceive themselves. To Paul, not to have this love of Christ amounts to a life filled with nothing, an empty life. He states, take care that you yourselves are not tempted. That is, tempted to take the route of placing yourself above others. Instead, he states, bear one another's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burden places everybody on an equal footing, helping each other through the struggles of life. These struggles are not just overcoming the mistakes which are made in life, but helping each other when life's trials and tragedies strike us. This is most certainly true within and among the members of the church, but it also extends beyond the confines of the fellowship into the world in which we live. Love knows no boundaries and is lived throughout life. Forgiveness breaks the bonds of condemnation in all of life and fulfills the love of God. Being a Christian does not mean that we lord it over everybody who is not. God's love does not include arrogance, but is fulfilled with gentleness, kindness, and example. Paul again states, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit." It sounds so easy, but being human as we are, what sounds easy is very deceiving. Some say all you need to do is to be born again or to be saved, and then the way is clear for you. Perhaps there is some truth in us, insofar as there is a commitment to live this love of God. But it does not allow us to escape our humanity, or as Paul states, the flesh. We are still in need of each other in the body of Christ. We are still in need of sharing each other's burdens out of God's love. We are still in need of humility and not arrogance. We are still in need of compassionate giving to the world in which we live. We are still in need of following the law of Christ. That is, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. We are still in need of God's grace, His love and His forgiveness. As long as we have breath in the flesh, we must strive to understand that we are brothers and sisters in God's family of love and must share as though we are just that, brothers and sisters. This is a lifelong road we are traveling, which can be overtaken by weariness and failures. And in recognition of this, Paul writes, "So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith." Fulfilling this then gives us the cause to celebrate. Every time we lift each other up in order to overcome the pitfalls and trials of life, we have cause to celebrate. Every time we extend forgiveness, we experience God's love. Alexander Pope, the 18th century English poet, put it this way: "To err is human, to forgive is divine." If we live the lessons of equality through God's love of forgiveness, of forgiving one another, of sharing each other's burdens, then the body of Christ not only lives, but this life in Christ will help our nation to someday realize the fulfillment of the goals and the principles which our founding fathers set forth. It is this commitment that we renew and celebrate not only today, but every day of our lives, especially when we join our lives together in the body of Christ. And you know, I think most of us have experienced this at Epiphany. And we can celebrate that fact. Amen.